And that's why we were having issues with local Ugandan content, because the artists didn't know the process. They didn't know that when you're going to release an album, you need to let the people that are going to distribute it know about it, so that they can plan for it and support and market it. That's why you'll see that today Nigerian artist will drop an album and 1 week later they'll say, we've got 100 million streams. Those million streams don't come out of the blue.
Yes, guys, it is the Power Talks with Suna, Ronald, myself. This is a podcast that aims to bring conversations about digital and media business on a record, where thought leaders guide and help us to understand the market needs, which will shape the industry for the very best at global standards. Myself and the team have created this show not only because we have history in professional digital marketing for brands, but we felt a call to action to share knowledge with industry players that this will be the right thing to provide solutions to aspiring entrepreneurs in the digital landscape.
All right, guys, welcome back on the show. I'm so excited. I'm always excited, man. The guests I have amazing. And on this podcast, I wanted first of all to talk about things streaming, music streaming. And Tidal Understanding is one of the companies that has landed in Uganda. This is, I think, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I'm going to engage my guest and he'll give us the actual figures. What better way for us to have a session to have someone from a company like that one, even away from Tidal, to give us an insight of the industry perspective and also where it stands. If you're interested into music streaming, the business of entertainment, you're going to enjoy this show. The man that I do have before me, first of all, we've just met. he's by the names of James Proper. And on his LinkedIn, James is the local content and editor for Uganda, right? Local editor for content?
Yeah. Content editor.
Content editor. Exactly. And please carry us away, please. James, how are you?
I'm good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
You look like someone I know.
Yeah, you told me off air. Yeah. I'm going to look up for the Ghanaian. For the first time, I'm being referenced to someone in West Africa. It's always because of my dark complexion and height. Sudan is always a first choice. So I'll have to see where maybe my bloodline lies in the West African, you know, sphere. But first of all, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
I've seen the works of Tidal. I understand that you're working for Tidal. And when I was looking for someone to get into this podcast, and also another acquaintance called Elijah from Feza recommended me to you. So first things first, how did you go to Tidal and how did you get there?
Anyway, my name is James Proper. I'm a music enthusiast. First of all, I started out as a radio presenter for Dembe FM. I did that for about 2 years. And in 2013, I left. I went to another small radio station with interest of music. There are not so many stations that give an opportunity to music. So I went to Metro FM while I was there.
Metro
FM. Then while I was there, a South African company opened up in Uganda.
I know you're rushing, but okay.
I'm just trying to get you where I get to Tidal.
What are you presenting on these shows?
I do music business analysis.
Yes,
that's what I do. So you'll see me all over the place.
You're working close with the programs managers and the music controllers and stuff like that?
It depends. It's a bit of both because sometimes you just need to have a place where you can have a show once a week. So of course you have to involve the music managers or the programs managers to give you that slot. So right now I'm doing Metro FM and Delta TV.
Doing analysis more in the research, on the research side,
more in everything that's happening. Sometimes it's just current affairs, sometimes it's just the stuff that we need to know
on air.
On air.
Beautiful. And when do the shows air?
Metro FM Mondays 4 to 7 p.m. Delta TV Fridays 3 to 5 p.m.
Please carry us away.
So in 2015, this South African company called Content Connect Africa comes into Uganda. They're looking for people. I apply. So many other people apply. And I go through. And so while they had a partnership with MTN. So I was sitting in the marketing department for MTN. Then few years down the road, something comes up. Mm. They say Tidal is opening up in Uganda.
Mm.
And particularly because it's the first streaming service,
yes.
It was hard to get someone who understands music curation.
Mm.
So many people understand music, but music curation is kind of different.
Mm.
So I was already doing curation for CCA, Content Connect Africa,
mm.
in a sense of caller tunes.
Mm.
So now here is another service that is going to focus on streaming. So they call out for people to apply, and I actually didn't apply.
Oh.
Then I think everyone wasn't giving them the stuff that they wanted, okay. Because I did for them a research
mm.
on the local industry, local music business,
mm.
and just to give them a view of what Uganda looks like.
Mm.
I didn't apply, ask people to apply, but then somehow the head of editorial reaches out to me and is like, you know what, James, I think we just have to do something with you.
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
So that's
from your research.
Yes.
Okay, we are here looking at the enthusiastic you into mm. music. You have so much intelligence about the local industry.
Mm-hmm.
Here you were talking about CCA that I was about to ask you, what do they do? And thank you, you mm. clarified the partnership that we're having with MTN, Caller Tunes, you name it.
Mm.
Where does this all originate from? Why you? And why is it like you? Why is it like this?
It's the passion. So when I started out on radio, I wanted to be one of those guys that talk about music.
Yes, please.
So for me, it was specific. It was music. It wasn't anything else.
Mm.
It wasn't farming. It wasn't anything. It was music.
Mm.
So when I started out in 2011, it was more of trying out hosting shows and doing celebrity gossip.
Mm.
Then when I lost that job at Denver FM, then I realized I needed to set up for something, mm. something more specific.
Mm.
I realized there was a gap. Everybody was doing music, the radios were playing music, but people weren't coming to a round table to discuss the issues,
the business of
around music.
Okay.
Yeah. Then of course it's career growth. That's when I also realized there is something called digital music.
Mm.
So I got so much into digital music with CCA mm. being a Pan-African company.
To, okay.
It exposed me a lot mm. to the African sound and African music business. So I think it's been growth. I didn't know I would be here now. I didn't mm. know I would be working in the digital music space. I thought I would be on radio mm. just trying to do celebrity gossip and stuff. But somehow I realized there was a gap that needed someone to fill in.
Mm.
So you'll find that even when you go to and listen out to all my shows or watch my shows, you realize that the way I deliver, everybody's paid out, mm. but nobody will ever pay me out.
Yes.
Yeah. So the artists usually pay out the presenters so they can do stuff for them.
Yes. I have a history in radio. I was working, I'm not trying to say that where I was working was happening,
uh-huh.
but at least I'm exposed.
It happens everywhere. It happens everywhere.
I am exposed to what you're talking about.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So it's more of a PR thing. So mm. they try to buy you out so you can do PR for them. And the good thing, I had a job now.
Mm.
I was financially okay. I wasn't mm. struggling to get $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy for me to stand on my feet and say, I'm just going to build the business.
Nice.
I'm just going to help everyone understand the business. So fast forward, Tidal comes in. We set up. I realized now, whatever we're talking about, we're focusing on the wrong things.
Mm.
The thing is, streaming was really bad in Uganda. Like,
yes.
People did not know about it.
Mm.
The artist had no idea. So I dedicated part of my life just to research music, research the sound. I'm not a producer, but just research and the psychology of music and how we can get.
And that takes me to the next question of
mm.
the part of your role in the mm. business, your designation, your office mm. at Tidal.
Mm.
What does it entail?
The job says local content editor, but it spans a little more than that.
Yeah.
But primarily, I'm concerned with the application
yeah.
and making sure the Ugandan app looks like the Ugandan app.
Mm.
So that it doesn't look like the Hungarian app or the American app or the UK app.
Mm.
So everything that you see in the app, most of the curation is done by me.
Mm.
Then, of course, also building playlists, mm. Ugandan playlists. Then there is what we call content cleanup. because you find that some of these markets, some of the content is really bad quality. So I try to listen to as much music as I can and reach out to the artists if the content has a problem and ask them to update. So basically everything that concerns, that rotates around the app, the content in the app, the playlisting, new albums are dropping, make sure that they get a banner. Then of course, when the playlists are done, then send them through to the marketing team, which is handled by MTN. So basically that's what I do.
That's quite a vehicle. It's like literally almost like 85 or 90% of the whole product.
Yeah, it is more or less that. But of course I work hand in hand with other people, marketing, content, the content team. We sometimes, for a streaming service, it's very easy for an artist to deliver an EP or an album or single. And for example, they intended to get released this Friday, but somehow they wrongly indicate the dates. So you might find an album that had to drop on Friday, showing in the back end that it's going to drop in 2025.
Yes.
So I have to have my eyes wide open to ensure that some of this content, everything is in order for the customer to stream and enjoy the quality.
Interesting. Yeah. I've known Tidal for years. And I think the background with Jay-Z and you name it, other people who are, you know, behind it. And I've been impressed by their business model. It got to my attention when there was a crisis with it. Oh, this one has refused to put his songs on the album on Tidal. That was, I think, between Kanye West and Jay-Z. So that's how I got more attention, more interested to understand what's this Tidal thing. And when it came, of course, I was there with the Val. By then, we were still in MTN. Going invited on behalf of Capital FM. And it was amazing.
Oh, you were at the launch?
Yes, I was
at,
there.
At the square?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
So it was quite interesting to see an international company like us, Tidal, which I was very informed that it was having already activity going down in South Africa, but choosing Uganda as a launch space. The things that you are talking about are, first of all, to make sure that the Ugandan is put forward.
Yes.
To be put front. And take us through, how is Tidal as of now? Because how many years has it been in the market?
For Uganda, it's about 2 years now.
Okay.
I can't really get the dates of head, but I think it's 2 years. You were at the launch.
Yes, so I was at the launch.
It's not just for me.
It is 2018. Yes.
Yeah, 2018 November.
Yes.
Around November.
Yes.
Yeah, so right now, first of all, we had issues with cleaning up.
Yes.
There's a lot of content that was either poor quality or, you know, plagiarized, or I don't know if the word is plagiarized, but so there were so many wrong things with Ugandan content, so we had to clean it up. Then secondly, there was an issue of the artists not understanding what streaming is. So we've been able to reach out to them one by one. It's case by case, telling them how streaming works, how they get their music on Tidal. And right now I'm happy if we started with, I'll just do a rough figure. If we started with 60% of Ugandan songs, right now we have about 90% of the content.
Interesting.
Then also the turnaround time for the artists releasing albums and EPs, you find that right now they can actually reach out and tell you in time that we're going to be releasing an album on this date, so we can offer marketing and support. So these are some of the things that... So initially, Ugandan artists usually use distributors like TuneCore or DistroKid,
that's what
which are online.
Those are also like competitors, right?
Distros deliver to streaming services. So, but the problem is because they're online, they don't do what we call newsletters. So big companies like Sony or UMG, Universal Music, they'll do a newsletter every Wednesday for what's dropping on Friday. Or they'll do a newsletter just telling you that at the end of Jan, we're going to be releasing something.
Do we get that from Tidal?
So, you're getting me lost. So, they send newsletters just to let you know, to let Tidal know that an artist X is going to be dropping their album on this date. So, that means you can get your house in order to support that artist.
Oh, the distros send those newsletters to Sony's and...
The Sony's send. The distros don't.
Oh, the Sony's do and the distros don't.
Yes. Mm. And that's why we were having issues with local Ugandan content.
Mm.
Because the artists didn't know the process.
Mm.
They didn't know that when you're going to release an album, you need to let the people that are going to distribute it know about it. So that they can plan for it and support and market it.
Mm.
That's why you'll see that today Nigerian artist will drop an album and 1 week later they'll say, we've got 100 million streams.
Mm.
Those million streams don't come out of the blue.
Yeah, I've seen a good partnership with Boomplay, especially in Nigeria.
Yes.
They do that. And understanding, because I've been on the streaming on the content delivery side, distributing some artist music, whereby you have to work with Boomplay separately and work with their distro separately.
Mm.
But all you want to be promoted, then you have to engage the desk of Boomplay to promote and push it separately.
Absolutely.
Makes the sense.
Absolutely. So Sony's and UMG, they already have a network all over the world.
Mm.
So if an artist in Sony's is dropping an album, they'll let everybody know out there.
Mm.
So whoever can pick it up, whoever can give some support, they'll give some support. And that's when you'll see that after a week, they'll say Burna Boy has 100 million streams. Mm. It comes from that. It comes from that bit of letting people know. So many artists are now letting us know.
Mm.
And many are trying to reach out even other platforms. I mean, I talk to people and they're saying, Apple Music is going to support my new album.
Interesting. And
that's huge.
Is it competition for you?
It is competition, but at the end of the day, what we want is people to start streaming.
Yes.
And when people start streaming, everybody makes money. The artists are happy. We're also happy. And the thing is, we cannot really say that it's a one-man job.
Yeah.
So we support where we can. And when we see other platforms also supporting, I mean, it gives us hope. It gives the local industry hope, because at the end of the day, it's not about James working for Tidal. Tomorrow, it's not Tidal.
Yes. And
so it's the business.
The company has a partnership with MTN.
Mm.
One of the biggest problems I could say that they are trying to solve is the cost cuts of streaming, because it has been something, a norm that was scaring, first of all, people to stream because of expensive internet and you name it. Takes me to the next question of what is wrong with the Ugandan sector in streaming? What would get Ugandan streaming that even when we have MTN on board, how can we scale up, or are you guys having any new measures that you would see that you get Ugandans to be understanding the whole thing, the principle, the philosophy of streaming, that you have to stream your own artist or pay, even buy an album or something like that? What would take us to that next level?
First of all, we need to fill the knowledge gap. There is a huge gap of knowledge from the customers that stream to the artists that do the music. When we speak up on the side of the artist, it's the content quality, the plan, because most of the artists will just wake up one day and say, next week I'm dropping my album. And when they deliver it, it's clear it's going to take a bit long, of course, because of COVID. The distros are trying to deliver faster. So, but when you, for example, release an album and you don't tell people that they're going to find it in these platforms, then people do not know where to find it. So they'll run to they'll run to where they get their music, usually either to a library or somewhere. So there is a big knowledge gap with the artists in the way they deliver their content, in the quality of the content that they give us. You find that some of the artists are still distributing MP3s. I mean, you don't expect an MP3 to go to a hi-fi streaming service or a master's streaming service. So if we fill that gap and have good quality content like our competitors, then we are starting to get in the right direction. Then for the side of the customers, some of them do not understand the model well quite yet. They do not understand how streaming works. They do not understand the benefits. So we're still doing a lot of teaching and educating the masses so they can understand how streaming works, how what hi-fi means, for example, or what master's quality means.
Yes.
Because when a producer makes a song, there is a way they intend that song to be listened to, that quality. So most of the people will just go to one of the websites in Uganda, just download a song, it comes off 2 MBs, but the quality that it gives them, is wanting. So if we can fill that gap, educate the masses that, hey, when you go to Tidal, it's the experience. It's the quality of content. Then when you go to Tidal, you can stream everything from the 1920s, 1940s to date. Whatever you need is there. So if we fill that gap, then we'll be moving in the right direction. So I think for me, the biggest problem right now with streaming is the knowledge. It's the information. The people do not have the knowledge and the information. And of course, we get challenged reaching out to everyone and telling them that this is what streaming means, or this is how you can support your local artists. And at times there is also very little support from the artists because there is a mindset that was built that if a corporate company comes to you,
you're in charge of the marketing,
they should give you some money.
Oh, yes. And case us to benefits, please. What benefits do they have?
Streaming is already a benefit because every time a person listens to your song, you get paid.
Yes.
So one of the things that we are doing is trying to support local artists by getting their content visible in countries that already have huge streaming numbers.
Yes.
So we can bridge the gap of Uganda doesn't have numbers yet, but you can get numbers elsewhere. We're trying to also get as more collaborations as possible. So we can see Ugandan artists working with artists from other countries. We had huge plans before COVID happened.
Yes.
We had very huge plans of getting some local artists here, taking them to the US and stuff, and to see that they can experience what streaming looks like in other countries. They can understand what we mean when we say quality. They can understand what we mean when we say, please don't give us MP3s, because it's hard for you to explain to them physically. But if you got like a few producers and had maybe a masterclass with one of the top producers in the US, they would explain to them and they would understand. So these are the things that drive us in the right direction. But of course, even with support from MTN, and other opportunities that we have to speak about streaming and just get the word out there. So but to be honest with you, I think the biggest problem we have right now is just the knowledge gap. Knowledge gap. Once we can sort that out, we'll be moving in the right direction. Even other platforms will be moving in the right direction.
Amazing. When you, first of all, you're dominating, you're a monopoly right now.
So even, no, we're not a monopoly. We're
like,
not a monopoly.
Apart from the pirates, you are the monopoly.
No, we're not. People can still access other platforms.
Yes, but they can.
The only difference is, for us, you can access it with mobile money.
Yeah.
Others, you still need.
Exactly, which is a very big vehicle for you.
So we're not a monopoly.
Yeah. Anyway, so when it gets to, first of all, you talked about the numbers. I think it reads 19 million Ugandans who are accessing the internet. Of those, how many streams do we have on Tidal, or how many like people are always actively streaming on Tidal per month? But you can give us that information.
Stats, I can't give you stats here. Stats, but I can tell you when you mentioned the number of people on the internet, that also gives me another thing to talk about, another challenge, which is with the devices. So you find that there are so many people that want to stream, but they still have low-end devices. They have a smartphone, but it's running on Android 4. So that also challenges how many people can actually access these platforms.
With that said, because in Uganda, you look at the market differences of people accessing such high-end phones, I could say, it's such a hindrance in your business, right? Yeah. How are you solving that? Do you have a lighter version for that? Like how you see Facebook leads, or you know,
the only challenge is we want to deliver an experience.
Yes, please.
To you. It's like when you use Facebook Lite, you're not getting the Facebook experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're lying if we say we're giving you a light version. It will not give you the experience. Yet that's what we want. What we believe in is give those people that have the right devices the experience.
Yes.
Then those that don't have the right devices will step up slowly. They'll step up slowly. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. It looks like Tidal is meant for the people who have
no,
the
experience.
Budget to Sangha. Anywho, I understand your point. I understand your point you're making here. But COVID has its lows and highs that it has done for the industry. When you talked about some insights on what it has done with the distros that they're pumping out content fast because of the season and the timing, what has it helped Uganda in any way when it comes to streaming or something like that?
I don't know how closely you follow the local industry, but you realize that in just 4 months between June and what's 4 months after June?
4 months. I'm sorry, okay. I have to count.
Okay, January, between June and November,
yes,
we've had more than 10 albums and EPs coming out.
Wow, you don't say. Well, I've been anticipating for Irene Italia, which didn't come. No,
Irene dropped an album.
Oh, she dropped
an EP.
An EP, yeah. I was waiting for an album from Universal, but I haven't seen anything.
No, it's not from Universal, but she dropped an EP.
What did you say? It's not coming? Please.
No, it's not from Universal, but she had a deal. I don't know what the deal means, what the deal looks like with Universal, but this she didn't drop it through Universal.
Yes.
But she dropped an album.
Yes.
You see Irene Namubiru also, also dropped
an EP. I think I saw something, yes.
And an album.
Shiba, we do have Shiba. Yes.
We have GNL Zamba.
What do you make of Shila's album?
Shiba.
Yes.
It's good. I like the arrangement. Mm. I like the arrangement, to be honest. I think it's the most well-arranged album that we've had this year. The other details of songs and what they
you don't want to get
mean,
into.
I don't want to get into that.
Why?
But, it's well arranged.
Oh, it's personal, you could say.
No, it's not personal. Mm. It's not personal. I'm supposed to support everybody.
Yes. Okay. Well, from your liberal thinking, at least you can share with us. Because when it was out, actually, I have friends of mine who are in the industry, and they were kind of not receptive with it. They were they were having different views. I may not express here, but from what I saw is that seeing Shiba releasing an EP or an album, was it an EP?
Shiba, it was an album.
Yes, yeah. An album.
Mm.
Rarely do we see artists, you know, releasing albums in Uganda. And if at all, that's going to provoke the culture of people who are aspiring to be like, then we are on a good what?
Yeah.
We're on a good track.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, Shiba, and I haven't seen so much from others, but you've just shared with us.
I was just trying to open up to see what we have.
Mm.
Baru has an EP.
Oh, Baru Beats.
Yes, Baru Beats. Mm. Elijah Chitaka, the artist.
Oh, impressive.
Has an EP.
Saxophonist, is it?
Yes, I think. Bini Ganta also dropped something. Rules, then there is Lagum the Rapper. That album was trending, really huge. So, Ugandan artists are releasing albums. Mm. And when you talk about Shiba's album, I think the expectations are quite high.
Yes.
Depending on, considering where she is now, considering where she's been one of the top artists for the last 5 years.
Mm.
So it's just normal that people will criticize it. But I mean, this just defines her sound. It just defines her direction. I mean, we can only advise as fans. We can only say, I don't like it, but from her space, she's trying to put out a message, and that's what the album should be focusing on. And me, I'm happy that she was able to just get all these songs. Some people say she collected songs that she had already recorded, but that's good, because after all, we would have missed them if she was releasing singles. We wouldn't have listened to some of these.
You collaborate very well with people like Shiba, right?
Yeah, we collaborate with everyone. Everyone. Yeah, whoever reaches out.
Good. So, should we see maybe in a year or two? Because first of all, Tidal's timeline was distorted by COVID.
Mm.
Should we see the projected collaborations maybe with international artists? Maybe let's say Shiba is collaborating with Simi or Joe Boy or even Shaggy. That's influenced by Tidal's, you know, making.
We already influenced the track, though it wasn't really a Ugandan track. But you remember you came for the launch.
Mm.
We saw that track for DJ Spino and
yes, yes, I did see that.
So
yeah.
I had to put that in Loton because that's not Uganda, but you already it shows. So what I'm trying to bring out is we create a platform and opportunities for everyone. And when I told you that we are trying to make sure that we show as much Ugandan content to other countries, we're also trying to, that kind of opens the door for many of them.
Mm.
So it might not be tied directly putting money into the artists' collaborations, but it could be someone who is interested to come out to Uganda and do a collaboration. And the benefits of Tidal being here are quite, the spectrum is broad. You see that now we have even international record labels coming in and signing Ugandan artists.
Mm.
They wouldn't come in if there wasn't a streaming service that believed in Ugandans.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to say is I'm not saying that Tidal is going to come out and say we're going to do a collaboration with between Rihanna and Sheba. No, but if the opportunity is there, well and good. But we create an opportunity for everyone, an opportunity where everyone can benefit, depending on how much they can put in. So if you do a nice album and we feature it, for example, in France, and Aya Nakamura likes it, and she wants to do a track with you, then why not?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of empowerment that we're looking at, an empowerment that creates equal opportunities for everyone. Because the problem comes in when you start siding with one artist, then everybody else thinks you've left them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why we try to create this platform where if I pick up Sheba's album, and get it shown in South Africa, another artist will not say that, why isn't my album not being shown there? Yes. First of all, where is your album?
Mm.
So these are the kind of opportunities that I think people should be looking out, not opportunities of where an artist always thinks about Tidal giving me $10,000, yes, $20,000 to shoot a music video.
Mm.
I think that's, we cannot support everyone.
Yes.
But with this platform, everyone can get equal opportunity.
And extending them to different markets.
Absolutely.
And on that, I've had experience with Boomplay, one of my favorite streaming platforms.
Why is it your favorite?
It's my favorite because, one, I don't use MTN, so I can't ask. Yes. Number two.
Why don't you use MTN? Okay, let's fast finish.
Well, so it has a cartel of so much local content in Uganda. Now, kinda. Why I'm saying kinda is because I'm jumping into the submission of, I have a challenge of they. It's now just, it's maybe COVID trying to expose them that actually they need to push more Ugandan content. But 4 months ago, they could, like, you could literally see only Nigerian music.
Okay.
As of now, when you open it, I've seen Wizkid has a new album. Whenever I open my Boomplay, they have taken the full screen, like a full ad display of Wizkid's song, album. And with that, I see, yes, maybe they're not doing it for Ugandans because maybe they don't have a local, you know.
They don't have editorial support here.
Exactly. So, for the sake of Tidal, understand that I think I read it like, I think a week ago, that they are penetrating into the Nigerian market.
Yeah, we've launched in Nigeria.
Interesting. Mm. That's, when was that?
A month back.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a soft launch.
All right, yeah. Being such a robust market, do we see opportunities whereby Tidal is marketing like content, Ugandan content, on homepages of Nigeria, Tidal Nigeria, South Africa, you name it? Do we does that happen? Is that going to happen? And also maybe enlighten us on the markets you have in Africa.
So when it comes to support, it's need based. It's need based. So I supported the road to launch in Nigeria and created some of those playlists, Niger Hits and stuff. And the only reason why I don't feature them much on the Ugandan end is because we want Uganda to look as much Ugandan as possible. So it will be the same case for Nigeria. They would want to see as much Nigerian content as possible. But what we can do, what we do is cross marketing, where in some of my playlists, I'll feature Nigerian content. Then Dozy, who is handling Nigeria, on part some of his Nigerian playlists, will feature Ugandan content. Then if an album is good and it's really, really good, and we feel that sound is relevant for Nigeria, they can definitely banner it.
What determines an album to be very good? Sheba's album?
Sound, language. yeah, it's so many things. It's so many things. I mean, you can listen to an album and you know that definitely this album would make sense to, let me say, an American market.
So the markets that you're having access to.
Right now in Uganda, we have, in Africa, we have Uganda and Nigeria. Other countries can access, but they access the international version. So we have a version that is standard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
International version, of course. Yes. In some countries, you can't access it. Like before Tidal came here, you couldn't access it. But I understand people in South Africa can access it. So some markets, they can access it. But we have bigger markets in Europe and Americas. By Americas, I mean the entire block.
Yes.
Brazil, US, Canada, Mexico. So we have a huge market there. For Africa, we are starting to roll slowly in. And another big opportunity that is coming up, I don't think I can talk about
this. Because it's going to the future prospects. Come on. Talk about the big opportunities.
So we're creating a space where we showcase African content to the international market. So we are creating that space with the content team and the interior team. We're creating that space, which means Africans are going to get more streams. And because in Africa, we're still Nigeria and Uganda, then definitely, even if Nigeria takes 40% of the spaces, at least we will have some 30, and then others can get 20.
And so, it talks also, why did they choose Uganda? Because I understand Kenya, when it comes to internet, like, you know, access, they are beating us. And when you look at South Africa, relatively, I think with Nigeria, they're kind of competing. Why Uganda? Why did they decide Uganda?
I think you need to tweet Richard Sanders or Jay-Z on
that. About
because I think that's now beyond me, because those decisions are made before I was born.
Yes.
So I don't know why they chose Uganda.
Because I really was so shocked when they said that it's coming to Uganda.
But in my mind, looking at things, guys, quote me well, this is not official. But in my mind, while I look at these things, I understand that Uganda is a very liberal country.
Yes.
Secondly, Uganda, at that time, we had a CMO who was very aggressive and loved music.
Yes.
So that's why he was able to support the process. I think then also Uganda is one of these fresh markets that nobody seems to be looking much at.
Yes.
But somehow they come out with a candle that is blowing.
I mean, Sheba was nominated in the MTV Europe. Yes, exactly.
Music Awards.
And she was the only one from East Africa.
Yes.
So it's a plus for us.
So everywhere you see an award, Uganda happens to appear somewhere.
Yes.
We've seen Eddie Kenzo being nominated in thousands and thousands of awards.
That's correct.
So when you start looking at your options, you look at Nigeria, you see Boomplay is launching, AudioMac is launching, and then you go ahead, you look at Nigeria, let me say Tanzania, and probably you have a language barrier issue. Then you go to Kenya, and you see there is a lot of issues with copyright. Then you come to Uganda, and things seem to be okay. But nobody's doing anything. So why not come into such a market?
Interesting.
I mean, it's not official, but that's what I think.
Yes, at least,
Leads
which is okay. And if all this could be like a place where you can pledge for government, like you can plead to government, is there any involvement where government can change the industry sector, and how you think that if at all like there's any involvement or subsidies or any, you know, ways that they can, you know, their hand in this, they can change the industry for the better?
I think the industry is really huge. Man, when you talk about government, I don't know where to start, but the industry is really huge. And what the government can do is support local content creators in a sense of, for example, the equipment that we use, the cameras and stuff. If the taxes are quite low, it means people are going to import good quality stuff, and we're going to produce good quality content. Then when you talk about things like publishing and distribution, I mean, we should encourage people to register their copyrights and make the process as seamless as possible, make it as simple as possible, get online. I understand they're doing great things at UPRS. I don't know what the outcome is going to
be. Guys, he did a quote. When you mentioned UPRS, you made a quote.
I made a quote because in there, I was speaking to Anthony Mwanda, the guy who is in charge now. And why I made a quote is much of the funding is coming from government. Mm. It's coming from NITA, Uganda.
Mm.
So I don't know what the motive behind our backs looks like. That's why I made a quote. But I mean, they're doing great things. So that is just need to be, they need to be sober about it. Make sure they follow it every step of the way so that wrong things don't happen.
Yes.
I understand you understand when I say wrong things don't happen.
I do.
But yeah, so if the government can provide a good landscape for the artists to showcase their talent, help them with copyright, help them with publishing, encourage more companies to come in, don't make it hard. Because the thing is, so many companies are trying to come into Uganda.
Yes.
But it's so hard at times to launch a company here. It's so hard to get access to information, public information. Then also, streaming works much with social media.
Yes.
And social media is taxed in Uganda.
And where does it make for Tidal? Why does it put Tidal when the government says it's going to start taxing content providers?
I mean, it's the same already. The tax on over the top applications already affects us.
Mm.
So what I would think instead would be to just add these to the 200 shillings that we pay for the over the top apps, because when you introduce a new tax, you're basically crippling the industry.
That's correct.
You're crippling the content creators. You're crippling. So we have so many issues. Just trying to change the mindset of the people so they can start streaming. Just changing the mindset of the artists so they can understand that they do not only need to rely on concerts and events, where now we have actually COVID-19 that has greatly affected the entertainment business landscape. So when you add on another tax, it certainly kills all the efforts.
Yes.
And these guys are investing millions and millions of money.
Yeah.
And they have huge plans for Africa. But if they feel that the state is directly trying to tax these platforms, then other platforms are not going to come in.
Mm.
You'll not see Apple Music coming in.
Yes.
You'll not see the Boomplays trying to open up offices here, because it will not be worth it.
Yes,
because today you struggle to get the few people streaming, and then now even the few people have to pay a certain tax, which you don't know how much it's going to be. So I don't think it's a good thing, and we can only ask the government not to even go there, because it just spoils whatever we've built. Yes.
I've seen the past. When you talk about the investments, what they are doing, when it comes to content investment for Tidal and what I see on Facebook, I see their videos, you know. Mm. Do we have videos, Ugandan videos on Tidal here?
Yes,
What types of content do we have there?
A few. So the thing with Tidal, like other streaming services, we do not do direct uploading of content like it is for YouTube. YouTube is not a music streaming service. It's just a video platform.
Mm.
So for streaming services, it has to go through the direct channels for distribution. And the direct channels are, you must have a distributor. First of all, you must have a publisher.
Yes.
To make sure that they code your music so it's not used by, what did you call them?
The pirates.
Pirates.
Yes.
So it's not used by pirates. Then you need to have a distributor who helps you get your content to all distributing platforms. Mm. Because as an artist, you cannot go to all 100 plus streaming services all over the world. But these distributors already have standing contracts with these people. So the challenge that I mentioned to you in the first part was Ugandan artists go through the distributors that are online mainly, like 80% of them go through either TuneCore, CD Baby, DistroKid, and you know, the online platforms. And the problem with these online platforms, they do not accept video for now. So it's only the few artists like Vinka, like I think Eddie Kenzo, that have contracts, distribution contracts with big distributors like Sony, who can provide video.
Okay.
But we did not want to first focus on the video. We wanted to first change the mindset, get the artists in the right direction. Now you see people like B2C. They're signed to Ditto Music to do for them distribution. So you're going to start seeing B2C music videos on Tidal.
Mm.
So this all, it's a process. It's a process, but we'll get there. Yeah, but for now you can enjoy the international and the few local
impressive. It has been quite a heavy, fisted, you know, insightful podcast. I hope guys learn a lot. I thank you for coming. I don't know how can they get, can they approach, can they reach you on their, on your social media channels?
Absolutely, absolutely. What are they? My Twitter is at James Proper. James, J-A-M-E-S. Proper is P-R-O-P-A. Yeah, P-R-O-P-A.
And what do they ask for when they're approaching you?
when you approach me, just anything.
Okay, guys, you've heard it. Anything, just...
Yeah, anything.
Just regulate yourself, surfer. You understand enough. But that's James Proper for you, the local content editor for Uganda, Tidal. I hope you guys join the platform. It has been quite an amazing journey that we are taking in Uganda when it comes to streaming. And also, it's so important for you to... purchase the music, you understand, so that you can give back to your artists because you enjoy their music. It's a sign that you're appreciating them for the efforts they put in. It takes a lot of millions to produce music and videos and stuff like that. From me, guys, this is, I think, the last episode for this season. I hope you enjoyed this season. Until next year, probably, allow me to wish you a happy new year, come 2021. It has been quite a year for us, but I hope the next, you know, coming months are going to be very good for us, especially when it comes to video streaming, music streaming, the internet, especially the caps that have been put on by the service providers. I hope everyone has the experience that we're talking about. And yeah, get yourself a good phone. I hope this show can be sponsored by, you know, Tecno, you name it. And people can access Tidal, you understand.
Absolutely.
Cheers from me. Maybe final words from James, please.
I just encourage everyone, the fans, like you said, it's when you stream music, you're basically giving back to the artist.
Yes.
And these artists spend sleepless night, a lot of money trying to put together this music. So come to Tidal, stream. We have a product called the Hi-Fi.
Hi-Fi
is high definition music. High definition music. So if you want to experience Hi-Fi music as it was created in studio, come to Tidal. Then we also have a master's version, where we, of course, these are selected just a few, mainly from the US, where you can experience music as it was produced in studio. So when you use Tidal, you can experience all this. I just encourage you to go out, stream music, all other platforms, just support Ugandan artists, support Ugandan music. When you stream Ugandan music, you'll see, for example, in our top 100, you see there is a lot of Nigerians. But it's why? Because Ugandans are not supporting their local artists. I want to see when Sheebah drops an album and all, like, from 1 to 40, all the 10 songs fit in there.
Yes.
You get. So, guys, go out, stream Ugandan music, and, yeah, love Ugandan content.
You heard it, guys. Cheers, and have a lovely day. Don't forget to mention my handle, which is at @officialsuna, # #PowerTalksPodcast on Twitter. Everywhere, I'll be getting a receipt, and then maybe probably you can take on the conversation from there. Cheers from me, and cheers, I guess, from the half of James Proper. We love you, and cheers.